Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. We just praise you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. We just praise you, Lord, that you're going to be present. You're going to be directing us. You're going to be leading us. You're going to be speaking through us, Lord, all the things that you'd have us to speak about tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. Every time this bunch gets together, we hook our faith up together, and we know that everything that we pray for is answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special because you're special and you love us. We love you. And we know that you're available for all prayers. We're going to see miracles, the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the name of Jesus. All right. Amen. Does anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, the one that we've been praying for is Judy, and she is actually coming back into work tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
She was all there right today to just to see, we got to see her today, and she said she's coming back in tomorrow. So
awesome. Awesome. Did you tell her we've been praying for?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Tracy, go ahead.
Well, glory to God. Good evening or good morning, wherever you are. I'm just now leaving work. Look, I have a praise report. I hope that's okay.
Yes.
Supposedly I had COVID and I'm unvaccinated in every aspect. And they made me stay home for a little bit. I work from home, but I'll tell you what, it was so silly. The symptoms were just mild. It kind of made you sleepy, and it was just so silly, you know, that people are, you know, and I understand it's a real thing, but you know, when I got back to work, I aggravated a lot of people because, you know, basically I'm one of the only, well, probably one of the 2% that are not vaccinated. Everybody else is in my work, but it aggravated them that I didn't end up in the hospital and it wasn't like some long drawn out thing. They were, you know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, it's so silly that, you know, all these rumors and all that. So, now, there is another gentleman that is unvaccinated that did end up in the hospital. He supposedly got a pneumonia at the same time. But, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, it's so silly. And I don't believe these vaccines are working and all that good stuff. But anyways, glory to God. It was awesome. Amen. I actually got a little bit of extra time to be with the Lord and work on websites and all that. So I am healed. I'm back at work and I feel awesome. So thank you, Jesus.
Praise
and
the
I
Lord.
Had. I didn't have to get any vaccine. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we don't do vaccine. We've got God's vaccine. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome, Tracy. Thank you. Yep. They the people who get vaccinated, they love to see people who don't get vaccinated go to the hospital. All right. Yeah, Rion or Claire. Or both.
Hello, everyone.
I
would like you to stand in faith with me. I received a message from a lady who homeschools on the island here where we live, and she was asking me when she can meet up with me and stuff, and she wants to try out a few of the things for homeschool that I do, which is cool. But that's not why we need to pray. She has four children, and her firstborn was born with chronic liver disease and all its trimmings. And he's getting, how do I say this? The hospital is giving them the bad report, and they want to put him on the transplant list. And then her littlest one, who is the same age as my little boy, about five, he was born with low core muscle tone, hearing loss, and a speech impediment. And so it just seems like they're so cursed, but she's so lovely. Like, she's just such a lovely lady, and she does speak the good report, and she does believe in God and in Jesus. Like, she is a professing Christian. I don't know, you know, to what extent. She said to me, she trusts, always praying for healing. She said to me, though, if God has other plans, I know he will also carry us through whatever happens. But we know that we are not under the curse. So I'm going to pray as the Lord leads me. And if anyone else feels led to pray for these beautiful boys and this lovely family, the boys' names are Pasco and Atticus. Nice names, hey? So I'll start praying for them. And if you can just agree. Thank you, Father, for orchestrating everything that we come into contact with, every person we interact with, every thought. Thank you for being sovereign over all things, Lord. And I know that when those two precious boys that belong to Lauren entered the world, you were sovereign on those days, in those minutes. But Father, the enemy has been found out. And maybe he's drawn a veil over healing. Maybe he's been busy speaking the bad report through various vessels of dishonor, but no more, Father, because where two or more agree, your will is done. And this mommy has faith, Lord. She just doesn't know what kind of faith is inside of her. So, Father, I pray now for Lauren, for her faith to explode in her chest, as it were, for her to have a fresh anointing of that gift that is called faith, that if we ask for, you will give. I do not ask for myself, I ask for Lauren, Father. And I also, in the authority, nature, and power of Jesus Christ, command that liver disease off of Pasco in the name of Jesus. You are unwelcome. You are not allowed. You have messed with the wrong child for long enough. Get your hands off of him. And I speak healing into that boy's body from a molecular level. I speak grace and mercy over that family. And for Atticus, I pray a strengthening like a triathlete in those muscles and bones, that he will speak like Moses with power, and that he is like Moses in his meekness. I don't accept the ill report of hearing loss and speech impediments on a five-year-old. I know that he has got everything in him already there to conquer the curse. And I pray that that family turns their hearts towards you and hears the true gospel and knows that it is finished. And those things have been hung on that dirty cross. And all that remains is the new glistening body of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. We hook our faith up with Claire and Rihanna, and we believe it's so, Lord of God. Behold, boys, behold. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's done. They are. He is. And it's done. Yes, Marilyn?
Could I just tack on a bit here?
Well, sure.
Okay. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the great work that you're doing in this family, even tonight. We are just praying an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts, to enlighten the eyes of their understanding, to grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ. Lord, that you help them to repent and believe, just the things that they have picked up out of probably ignorance and immaturity, because they've not heard, they've not been blessed as we have to have been taught. And Father, I am praying that their hearts are going to be prepared in a mighty, mighty way. And that when they get to Claire and Rion's, that there's going to be an opportunity to pray. There's going to be an opportunity to pray, lay hands on these children and pray. They're going to be very open to it. And Father, I'm praying for even great childlike faith in Pasco and Atticus to be able to receive the fullness of healing, and not negating Claire's prayers in any way, that it's already done. Everything that she prayed, but that, Lord, there's just going to be a door open there. And when they come in, they are going to just sense the presence, the love, the light of Christ in that house. There's just going to be such peace and such joy. And it's going to, Father, I've seen you open the door. It's so easy when you open the door, and that the door's going to be wide open, and they're going to be able to receive and receive fully. And Jesus is just going to be glorified in a mighty way. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, Rayon, Claire.
It's another prayer request. The Lord also led me to, well, he didn't actually lead me anywhere. I was in my house, and one thing led to another, and these people arrived and they helped us with a few things. And the lady, the first thing she did when she came in, like, I don't know if she knew that we were Christian or what it was, but she just started telling me how fearful she is because her daughter's starting to be interested in boys. So I was like, where did this kid meet the boys? Like, it's summer holidays. Like, what do they do on the island, like these teenagers? And she said, oh no, at a youth camp. So I'm like, what, like a Christian youth camp, or like what kind of camp? And she's like, oh no, a Christian youth camp. So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, there's a bit of a basis there for me to talk more freely. So she just started telling me stuff, and I'm not going to say everything, but I would like to pray for her oldest daughter, who since the age of 2 has been in multiple accidents, and has had like the most bizarre things you can think of has happened to this girl. She's now 15, and she is very interested in a boy who's 3 years older, and they're in a Christian school, but you know, that doesn't mean much. I mean that with all the respect in the world. I just, you know, so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that, and I'm going to hope that you would agree with me, but yeah, there's stuff that needs to be prayed here. I did actually pray with the mom on Saturday, and I told her that I'm part of a fellowship where we pray. And then she started telling me that she's spirit-filled, and then she started telling me about their doctrine, which I think is full of holes, but it's okay because the Lord is sovereign and he works everything for the good for those who love him. So I told her I was going to pray for her daughter here today. And if the Lord leads me, then I'm going to share this recording with them afterwards. But that's fine. You know, she's open to it, and she was very, very grateful for the prayers. But I'm going to pray it here as well. Father, thank you so much for these people that you've put on our path, or actually leading them right to our door. Thank you so much, Lord, and thank you for your graciousness and your mercy. And you are good above all things, Father. And you are the only God. And your Holy Spirit is a pure spirit. And there are pure outworkings of your Holy Spirit, Lord. But there have been curses spoken over that child's life, whether in ignorance, whether in dark times, not necessarily by the parents, but by communities, environments. And I break those curses now in the name of Jesus. I say, get your hands off this child. And the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection needs to go in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would pour your love out on this girl in such a miraculous way, Lord, that you would infuse her with the faith to see her hand that was damaged when she was 2 in full use, Father, that fingers can point and the dexterity is the dexterity of David's hands when he was playing the harp for Saul. Father, I pray that this fear of rejection that maybe has an outworking in seeking acceptance from man, I put an end to that in the name of Jesus. We only are accepted in Christ. There is no other who can love us the way you do, Lord. And I pray that heavenly love and that unshakable peace over that family now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did you say she has something wrong with her hand?
Yeah.
Okay. What's her name, ma'am?
Kiara. I'll do it slowly.
Please.
Kiara.
Like the thing you put on your head?
I don't know. What's that? Oh, like a tiara with a K. Yes.
Good one, Michael.
Okay, Lord, we lift up tiara. She's a child of yours, Lord, because she's under her mom and dad's authority. And in the name of Jesus right now, y'all just imagine in your mind the things that I'm going to pray here for this girl. This 15-year-old girl doesn't have to put up with this. We're not going to put up with it. Devil, we're setting you on notice right now. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that hand to straighten out right now in Jesus' name. We command complete healing in that hand and arm in the name of Jesus. You have to be whole in Jesus' name because we prayed the prayer of faith. We believe and we see it now. Stretch it out.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. Lord, that TR is healed. She's delivered. And Amen. She's praising you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And she's got her eyes and mind on you from this point on and not on boys. In Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for TR because we know it's happening.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to mention a couple of facts, right? The fact is that she has been healed at the cross already. Jesus's hands were pierced.
Amen.
So that her hands do not have to be pierced. And he gave us an example of that man in the synagogue where he just said, stand up, stretch out your hand. And that withered hand was completely healed. And Jesus healed all that came to him. These are facts. And so we Amen. Claim it now, and I oak up my faith with that as well. And we thank you, Lord. We cannot wait to hear the good report.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Let me get Jeff and Terry in here. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, Marilyn's got her hand up.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to tack on there a bit. Father, we thank you for this dear little precious handmaiden saint of the Lord. We do bind up the spirits of youthful lust, infatuation, and romance. And we cast those out in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray and believe that she is, cover her with a veil of purity and that she is, her life is hid in Christ of God. And Lord, that she is just hidden from any snares of the fowler through these things that are so common with teenagers, and that she is protected until Father you see fit. If you have a young man for her that that she is just, she's saved and she's hidden until that time, and that you're going to give her a peace about it, that she's just going to have a peace and a joy about waiting and knowing that you have somebody really special for her. And I pray, Father, you even give her a dream about that to encourage her to just wait. And Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. I didn't fall for that. Okay, so now we'll do that. He wants us to pray for an ex-church mate, Benu, who has rectal cancer. They did some treatment. It has metastasized, and the hospital has taken their hands off him. Okay. It ain't nothing for God, is it? God can do it. In the name of Jesus, we lift up Benu to you, Lord. I don't know if he knows you or not. It doesn't make any difference, because we know that your glory will be shown throughout this. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of cancer off of the new. You go right now in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the fear of cancer off of the new right now in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of death to go in the name of Jesus. You can't have it. He's a child of God. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to, it has already been done. The cancer has gone. He is healed. He's whole. Benu, your body is whole. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Get up out of that bed of affliction and seek the Lord with all your heart. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Benu. In Jesus' mighty name, glory to God, glory to God. We consider it done, Lord. You're a God that could work long distance, any time, any day. And we thank you, Father, or anybody, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, he is healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So now it's done. Glory to God. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
I just want to thank the Lord. I have two things, actually. The other day, my cat that we prayed would come back and did, got a little bunny, baby bunny rabbit, and he had him by the neck. I heard him squealing outside, and I went out there, and anyways, that poor little thing, he had it by the neck, and so I, like, smacked the cat real hard, and he let go of it. And the little bunny was jumping around, and I was trying to make sure he wasn't hurt. And then I think he went under one of our kayaks, and I may have accidentally squished him a little bit while I was trying to find him. This is terrible. Anyways, I felt bad, and I was praying. I was like, Lord, I was like, please don't let me hurt this little thing. And I thought about what Claire and Rion and all their kids have went through. With, I don't know if it was a bunny or if it was like a chinchilla or something. But anyways, they had some type of critter. And so I kept thinking about that. Possum, here we go. I kept thinking about that. And I was like, well, Lord, I was like, you did it for them. I know you can do it for me. And so I was praying all night that it would live, because it looked like its like back was kind of smashed. And so I put him in a little box and I buried him in there to rabbits like to be in their den. Anyways, and I just prayed, and I had a dream that night that he was jumping around and was, you know, back to normal. And my main thing was I just wanted him to live through the night. And so praise the Lord, I woke up the next day all night. I was like, get up, check on him, get up and check on him. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm just going to be at rest. I'm going to be at peace. I know that the Lord's going to keep this little guy alive. And then I woke up the next day and I looked at him and he was all warm and snuggled up in a little blanket and his little ears were moving. So like, praise the Lord for that. I ended up calling animal rescue though, so that way they could keep an eye on him and feed him, because I just work and stuff. So I didn't want to leave him on his own throughout the day for too long with all of our animals, because we got a lot of animals and I didn't want them to try to attack him. So anyways, I sent him to a little animal rescue place where they take care of rabbits. And but anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for that. They made it through the night because I felt really bad. And then also want to praise the Lord because, Michael, you were saying, I think it was a few ministries ago, but just basically like praying for the gifts, and if we want them, to pray and believe for them. And I've never had a vision, and so I prayed and asked the Lord, like, Lord, you know, give me more revelations, give me a vision. Anyways, today I was texting Lacey, Justin's wife, and we were, you know, we were talking about the baby and stuff, because, you know, it's getting soon that the baby will be here in February, toward the end. And so, like, I just felt the Holy Spirit, and like, we were texting a lot, and I was going back and forth just thanking the Lord for everything he's done, and just all joy, really just all joy and just excitement for this baby to get here. And then I walked away for a second, and I had this vision of me in labor, totally calm, in the Lord's hands in front of me, just carrying that baby out, and me lifting my hands up to the skies and just praising the Lord. And anyways, it was just like, it was crazy, because it was just like a blurb of like a second that I saw this thing, and it was perfect, and it gave me like such overwhelming peace. And I just want to thank the Lord for that, because that was the first vision I've ever had. And I just want to thank him for his promises, and it's true. It already happened, in Jesus' name.
Amen. They are. They're out there for us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I will. I'll get you on the red. Okay, go ahead, Lana or Fia. Air one.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Lana.
I just wanted to share a wonderful praise report. Back at the end of July, or maybe it was early August, my sister-in-law miscarried during a pregnancy. And it was a very unique one. It's called a blighted ovum, where the body... where the embryo doesn't attach and the body reabsorbs it, but the body still thinks that you're pregnant. And so she had all the pregnancy symptoms for 8 weeks before she realized there was no pregnancy. And this evening she called me. Well, when the miscarriage happened, I shared it with our sister's prayer group, and we prayed and believed that she would become pregnant again very shortly. And she called me today to let us know that she was 9 weeks pregnant, the first of September, and that she actually got pregnant as soon as her cycle came back after the miscarriage. So I am super excited for her, and I am praising the Lord and praying that this will be a beautiful and safe pregnancy, and that we will have a little niece or nephew come this early fall. So thank you, Father in heaven, for hearing our prayers and keeping Juliana safe, and that we will be rejoicing with them on the arrival of their baby sometime later this year.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, Missy.
That reminds me of when we were visiting my family the other weekend, a couple weekends ago, Brooke mentioned, she says, say a prayer for me, you know, to get pregnant. Because they, after she had miscarriage before, Blake, it only took like 3 months or so for her to get pregnant. And she's, they've been trying since Blake's been turned one back in August. And, you know, I don't think she's really stressing about it per se. So I just wanted to say a prayer for her. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this new one that she's that you're giving her that hasn't manifested yet. But I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for blessing her womb and that she becomes pregnant here soon. And just give her peace and rest about it, and no worries. And I don't think Kurt's too bothered about it. But anyway, so just give them both peace and rest and joy, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for this pregnancy that she's going to announce here soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I don't know if I told you all, but she had 3 dreams where she was holding twin babies, and she said she thinks they were boys. And I told her, you're gonna have twins. The Lord's preparing you. And Kurt's like, no, I only want one more. I only want one more. And it wouldn't surprise me if she gets pregnant with twins. So there you go. All y'all know, in case I didn't say anything. So when I tell you that she's pregnant and she's going to have twins, then praise the Lord. Not that I wish it on her, but or anything like that, because sometimes twins can be hard. But I thank you, Lord, that she's going to continue sailing. I truly believe that's what she's going to have is twins. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, just let me check it here.
Michael, can you see Lacey's hand?
No.
Hi. I
mean, oh, there you are. Go ahead, Lacey.
Hey, Justin asked if you guys would pray for him. He came home from work not feeling well. So he's one prayer. I don't know if you'd mind praying, Michael.
You're muted, Michael.
Yeah. Who was this for, Lacey?
It's for Justin.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought it was. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Justin to you. We command this spirit of infirmity off of him. You go from him and all the symptoms go with it in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right to be there. He's a child of the living God, and you leave now his body. And behold, Justin, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. It is done. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's done. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory to God. My. Okay, who's next? Well, I have some good news. I'll just read you what David sent out. Said, hi, saints. The Lord spoke to me last night to fast and pray and to bring down the fleshly beast and to bring in the glory. He said, and then I saw 144 on the clock. I see bringing down this fleshly beast primarily as the one in us, the self-life. And I see it secondarily as the fleshly beast in the deep state world. We can't get rid of the one unless it is not in us. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. We can't get rid of this one unless it is not in us. I see bringing in the glory as the glory of Christ in us and into the world to destroy the beast as Esther did when she interceded for the people. Hers was the only intercession accepted by the King of Kings. We also need Jesus coming in the man-child to officially bring back Cyrus and release all the funds to spread the gospel. Daniel was anointed ruler before Cyrus came in the door to release Babylon's funds to rebuild the kingdom. In Joel 2, the Lord was bringing the deep state army of that day against the people of God to bring them to repentance. The bride repented before they got to them and so were spared as God destroyed the deep state beast and left them with the gift of the former and latter rain. Then he quotes Joel 2, 12 through 15. Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning and rend your heart and not your garments and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Please fast, David goes on to say, from worldly endeavors too, in order to tend to this very important task. Some have to work at a job and some have to minister as a job. So design your fast to deny your flesh, but enable you to work. If done right, the fast will weaken the flesh man and strengthen the spirit man. You need to burn all the calories you take in so they don't hang around. Oh, what he's talking about, don't you? I got enough to last me for a while. This is going to be for 7 days. Here's Merlin's dream that Sandy warning to die to self. Merlin was standing near a driveway with my hands in my pockets looking up at the blue sky, and then I saw Sandy. Sandy is a local member that died here recently, some months ago, maybe even further than that. Okay, I can't remember. It's been a while. I looked again and saw her smiling down at us at the family circle. I saw her from her face down to her shoulders. And I looked and I blinked when I saw her and I called out, Sandy, is that really you? And she smiled really big. Sandy can smile big too. Then she got serious. And she kept saying, death to self, death to self, death to self. And I said back to her, I know we have been all trying. The time is closer now. She smiled and nodded. And then Sandy was quickly gone. Then he quotes Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And David goes on and says, we also have a warning of Bill Gates being in our midst with his graphene oxide. So pray that down too for the saints and loved ones. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to fast and pray and to get rid of all this excess flesh and worldliness. And Lord, let it be a trimming of great work in each and every one of us, Lord. We ask for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord, to help us to get through this. And we thank you, Father, that you are putting us on this walk of holiness and you want us to stay trim in the holy walk. And we praise you, Father, that you're helping us to do it too. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. To keep our eyes on you, Lord, when we keep our eyes on you and walk in the Spirit, that we'll be walking in true holiness. And we praise you for it, Father. in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that when we feed our spirit man a whole lot more than we feed our flesh, that we will walk in the Spirit. We will be led by your Spirit. We will have all the gifts available to us. They're available to us in all times. All of the gifts of the Spirit. All we have to do is get in the Spirit and get rid of flesh. And we thank you, Father, that you're doing it in us. And we praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state in the church and also in the government in the name of Jesus. We bind up their works against us, and Bill Gates too. We bind it up and cast it aside as null and void against God's people in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the Psalms 91, a covering that you have given us. And we praise you for it, Father. We don't have to worry about anything because you are protecting us through that Psalms 91. And also the blood of Jesus covers us. Nothing can penetrate that either. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Any questions? Yes, Claire?
When do we start?
We started today. You can start today too, if you like.
My day's almost done. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It will still be your today.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let me know how I did.
You're going to come with flying colors, Michael, leaner than ever.
Okay. Great. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Anybody got anything? Yeah, Carol.
Hi, guys. I'm going to try something, and then I want to give you some good news as well. But I don't know if this is going to work. Just let me put your hand up if it's horrible, okay? I'm just going to try something.
It's not working.
Can you hear it? No?
No.
Okay. I'll send it to you for Thursday then. It's just a beautiful, it's the song of Godfrey Bertil singing, and he's singing with the people, and the word is, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And they're just doing this amazing repetition of this song and singing it together. And anyway, I've been doing this, okay? And I just want to say, I see Andrew, I see his son there tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrew's son. My sister, I spent the day with her because she's still in a fight for her life. But as I sat there, she just said, oh, I did. After our talk last week, I sat down and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I was like, and you didn't think to call me? Anyway, so she received him and is calling on his name through this fight that she's in right now. And today I got to minister to her as the fear was trying to take over. What she's experiencing is, I think, secondary effects of an antibiotic that the doctors have given her to fight this infection in her intestines. And I think that the antibiotics is causing her to have a high blood pressure. And then she's shaking. Her hands were shaking when I went to her today. But I was able to minister to her and not be afraid and just love on her in Jesus' name. And she was able to receive the laying on of hands. And she just wrote to me saying that she is so at peace right now. So God is doing the fight. She has said yes. Our lamb is magnificent, but he's also a lion right now. And I just sense the Lord is just releasing his fire over his children. And that fasting you're talking about, it is, I'm right there with you. I'm going for that. So there you go. Another baby in the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. That's good. I had something on my mind. I forgot what it was. Yeah, dude.
Michael, can you please clarify about the fast? For those, I mean, it's kind of like however the Lord leads you to fast, right? It's not like a...
Well, those of you that want to do it, you can do a 40-day no food, no water fast if you like, or 7 days, ever how you feel comfortable with. If you've got to work, I know you got to eat, you know. Some here are doing one meal a day and water. Some are doing, I don't know, I think there's some even doing nothing for 7 days. I don't know. You know, just, some are doing just water. So it's, you just ask the Lord what he wants you to do. You know, whatever the Lord leads you to do, that's what you do. And it's just to kill the flesh to get ready for this bride happening. That's what it is.
So I guess it depends on, like, the more flesh you have, the more you should fast, right?
Well, yes.
Just saying.
No, it's not the best option, Rhea. Is that clear? Okay, I don't doubt it. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're always looking for a way out, aren't we? My. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you can fast work. Come on, Geneva. No, I know what you just, you do whatever you feel comfortable with. That will kill the flesh. But the way I do it, people are doing all kinds of different things here, so. However how you led.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Just to talk a little bit about the fast. One of the hardest fasts for me was not the 40-day fast. It was the 7-day nothing fast. That was the hardest for me. I don't know about y'all, but I was crawling by the 7th day. You know, me and David were counting the minutes down. But you know, after 3 or 4 days, you know, it wasn't as bad. But that was the toughest one I've done, and I've done 2-week fast before. I don't know why that one was just bad. Go ahead, Pat. Or good, probably good for me.
Me too. I was thinking of this very thing. For some reason, I had been, the Lord has had me going back and listening to some old tapes.
Yeah, I do that. Oh.
From
do you care if I do that? Blank us out.
I don't care. Good.
Hey, Debbie, why don't y'all mute?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm so Pat, sorry.
Okay.
How'd that happen? Okay.
Next time it happens, I'm gonna have to remove you. You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to blank us out and I hit the wrong one. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I thought I had an echo there for a minute. Anyway. So there was a ministry that I think it's still in effect, and it was from a guy named Kent Hovind, and he taught, he did seminars on evolution, versus creation. It was very, there. I would suggest that if anybody, evolution is such a enormous undercutting philosophy that covers a lot of, it's the root of a lot of garbage, a lot of sin, and a lot of just the whole thing. It's really the foundation of what we're going through now. But anyway, that wasn't what I wanted to say. I would say that if you haven't become aware of the truths of God and creation, and just how well you need to become aware of how true the Bible is, and the six-day creation, and the 6,000-year creation, etc. But the thing that hit me as I was listening to this tape, at the end of the tape, he has a little kind of an altar call. And it's the same old thing. You know, if you haven't accepted the Lord, please repeat after me. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven. Now, if you repeated that prayer in your heart, please, join a church, read your Bible, and do the best you can type thing. And that's kind of the gist of it. And I had the opportunity to actually, a friend of mine invited me to a church. He was giving a message, and I kind of set through that same process again. And I just, it just tore on my heart the incredible battle, or the beast that is in existence, that the Lord has called us to address. And I think what I'm feeling is that the concept, the understanding of Christ being released within us to address the issue at hand himself. And I know I see it as kind of a subtle change from the revivals of the past and everything, in that Christianity has kind of taken the mental stance of, we've given our life to God, and God's going to give us a bunch of information, a bunch of knowledge, wisdom, and we're going to take that, put it in our bag, and we're going to go out and we're going to give it out to the world type of thing. But obviously there's a certain aspect of truth in that, but I see what the Lord is doing now, in that there's a little bit different depth, is in that he's not just giving us something to give out. I see it more as a resting in the death to self, so that Jesus is comfortable to dwell, released to function however he wants within us, so that we are taking Jesus in a real, true way to those that need, For he is the only one that is able, his wisdom within us. The scripture says that they that are wise win souls. And there's only one true, there's only Jesus who is our wisdom released to live within us, to have the wisdom and the understanding to deal with anything and everything that comes his way through us. And so to me, this fast that is being called and the concept of death to self and is not so much a death to self as much as it is a release of the life of Jesus free to function within us. And so I guess that is my focus for this fast. I think it's coming as a real answer to the prayer of our heart. And it became so evident as I was witnessing in this, I guess, this beast of a religious system that is so widespread, so massive and vast out there that it doesn't scare you. It just seems overwhelming. And it's going to take, I believe, nothing short of the Lord Jesus free to function in us and bring his light to the world through us. So I guess that's more of a prayer for myself, a prayer request for me for the purpose of this fast. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Well, yeah, you're right in the sense that killing the flesh is putting more of God in you. That's exactly right. It's putting more of God in you than you do the TV or man. You put a lot of man in you, you're going to have man's spirit in you. That's the flesh that we're trying to get rid of. The Lord wants you to get rid of. But if you put more word in you, you're going to be walking in that holiness walk. You'll be losing that flesh quite quickly. Just think about this. If you spend 30 minutes in the Word of God and 4 hours on TV, what do you think you're going to have? You're going to have a fleshly life, worldly life. You're not going to bear the fruit of Jesus. But if you spend that 4 hours in the Word of God and no hours on TV, you're going to be walking in the fruit of the Lord Jesus. That's just the natural fact. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, then unbelief comes by hearing man, right? So you got to get the Word of God in you. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get rid of that. So I've only fasted one day in my life. Well, go for 40, Vanita.
Okay, we'll pray sure.
We'll pray for you.
Lord, I'm hoping I can do one more. Yeah. I'm going to try to do 7.
Okay, well, look, you can do one meal a day or fast from one meal a day, whatever you feel comfortable with, that you know that you're killing the, you know, you're killing the old man, so to speak. So, Lord, we just lift up Anita to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're giving her the strength and for her to sacrifice for you, Lord. That's her sacrifice for you, as it is for everybody. And we thank you, Lord, that she is going to do the whole 7 days whatever you place it in her heart to do, Lord, and we thank you for it. She's going to be praising you at the end of it, because it's going to be an awesome time, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, go ahead, Rion or Claire, or who is it? Daniel, either one.
I feel that I need to just maybe share with Vanita and with the other moms on the group. I struggled to fast in the beginning of my walk with the Lord. And a few times I started and I failed at 10 in the morning with the first snack. And then I think the first time I actually fasted, I think I was like properly, I just fasted from one thing, like just one thing. And then the next time I fasted from a couple of things, but I could never do a full food fast until I came to the end of myself. Until I had the biggest trial in my life, and I knew that that was the only way that I could humble myself. And that was the most joyous 3 days of my life. I had people over. I had prepared meals for them. Things had already been set in place. And it was such a joy to quietly and submissively not partake. And the Lord really strengthened my inner man, and he really did a good work. And the rewards thereafter were almost instantaneous. And the answers to prayer, like literally, I was praying for a specific thing, and I don't want to go into details. And I had the faith for it, and I walked in it, and I finished the fast on the Sunday morning. And the Sunday afternoon, I got a phone call to tell me the very thing I needed to hear, like the very, very tangible outworking. And it wasn't for me, like I was fasting on, for my family. And I will just say this, I wanted my mom to meet the Lord. I really wanted her to meet the Lord. And she phoned me that Sunday morning, which was my afternoon, to tell me they had gone to church for the first time in 15 years. And if that, God will, he is there.
Is that when those people walked up to her as well?
Yeah, had like three experiences within 3 hours of people witnessing to her, and then took herself off to church the next day with my dad. It's still a church, mind you. I'm so grateful. Like, the Lord is so gracious. So I hope that encourages.
The Lord even wanted them to go to a specific church. I remember that. There was one lady randomly who just asked Claire's mom, "Why aren't you in church?" Just like the checkout counter. And that was the third thing that happened. And she told her husband, my father-in-law, "We're going to church." And he drove. They're like, "No, we're going now." And like, they got in the car, they went, and they got to a church, and it was closed. It's on a Sunday, and with nobody there, it was closed. And they thought, okay, so they drove on to another one, and it was just a better one to go to, right? It was just that way the Lord had it. It was just amazing.
So I'm just, yeah, I just wanted to encourage you.
Amen. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, Julie.
Just real quickly to encourage Benito and anybody else, when we did that 7-day fast, and I had not done that before, I think the longest, it doesn't matter, I hadn't done a no water, no food thing fast ever, I think, except maybe once. But anyhow, to encourage myself, I mean, I really prayed, and I prayed with somebody else that I'm like, I'm not fasted like this. Lord, we need your grace to do it. And he did. He gave me the grace to do it every day. And I asked him every day to help me. And he did. And another thing I did to encourage myself was I listened to the teachings on fasting, because that really helped keep my focus into why I'm doing this. So hope that helps. I put something in the chat too for a link on that, on the fasting teaching.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to fast, because I work pretty much every day, and it's hard.
Okay. All right. That'd be fine. Lord, still love you.
Yeah.
A little less, maybe, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. All right, go ahead, Leo.
Nick, you can.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, you can fast from a habit too, Nick.
Yeah. Don't be playing them games. All right, Lana or Theo.
Hey, I just wanted also to add to encourage Vanita. I grew up fasting pretty regularly, especially after my baptism. It was kind of a legalistic thing growing up. My dad would always quote unquote encourage us to do it as kids when the family was doing it. And then once we became members of the church, baptized members, it was a must. And so when the Lord brought us to UVM and I faced fasting again because I had stopped doing that for a few years once I got married, I had a fear in me. And then the 40-day liquid fast was announced. And I, at that point, I really badly wanted to do it, but I could not trust myself to go through with it. I thought, man, I'm just going to fail right in the middle of it, or I won't be able to go for, you know, too many days. And I just knew I had a great desire in my heart to actually do it. And I realized that this desire must be from the Lord. So I said, Lord, if this is from you, then I'm going to trust you to get me through these 40 days because I want to do it, but my flesh is scared of failing. And he did it. I just woke up the first morning and we did the whole smoothie thing and the liquid fast and day two, day three, day four. And before you knew it, it just became almost routine. And we made it through the 40 days. And I know it's only by the grace of God. So if you have that desire, just ask the Lord to increase it and to build on it and just trust that it's from him. And if he put that in you, then he'll get you through it.
Amen. Go ahead, Ice.
Okay, I feel so nervous to talk and I don't know why. But I need to ask for prayer because some really strange things are happening that don't normally happen to me. Well, the dreams part happens to me, but let me just explain and try not to be long-winded. So the first thing is I started out having a dream that a man came up to me and asked me if I had corona. And I think I told him that I never had corona. And he said, well, you're about to have corona. And then like he stuck me with a syringe. And I guess I had COVID in it and I started to develop symptoms, but I remembered my authority in Christ and then like the symptoms went away. But then like stuff in real life started to happen that was just crazy. So my oldest daughter has been wetting the bed almost every single night and we were trying to have like handle it by natural means, but that didn't seem to be working. I'm like, wait, is this spiritual? And then like I'd had peace in my home, you know, working on submitting to my husband really and you know, not thinking any evil or having any offense in my heart. But after having this kind of long period of peace or what I felt like was long anyway, then he got irritated with me about something yesterday, you know, not wanting to cheat on our taxes. He doesn't know the Lord yet, but he's know the Lord. But so that was that. And I'm like, okay, is this spiritual as well? So I prayed against that. And then the Christian app in my girl's room, it stopped working, a streaming app, because my husband wants him to watch stuff and like put like evil stuff like Disney and that type of stuff on their TV. And I obviously don't want them watching that. But to, you know, prevent arguments, then I had Minnow, if anybody's familiar with that, on their TV. That just quit working. And then I was like, okay, am I just reaching the Lord, or is everything that's happening right now, is it spiritual and I just need to be against it? And I was praying against it. So I went to sleep. I had another dream that there was a fight between me and my husband and it felt so real. And at the end of that dream, there was like two witches who just morphed into something else. They turned older to younger and then back to older. They were disappointed. So once again, I asked the Lord, okay, is this confirmation? Am I just sensationalizing things? And then the last thing that just really put the nail on the head was I had a friend who had, she said, okay, I don't know if this dream was from you, Lord. She had a dream. She said, I don't know if this dream is from you, Lord. So if it is, and it is about ICE, then I want you to have her reach out to me. And so I reached out to her today. I didn't know anything about this dream that she had. And then she told me like, okay, this is confirmation. You're reaching out to me. And basically in a dream, there was a woman, she had two dreams, and in the dream there was someone that wanted to kill her, but it was for me. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I am a novice when it comes to spiritual warfare, So I need prayer. I don't want to be paranoid. Like, okay, is this person out to get me? And I shouldn't be, right? But I can't tell you guys, like, honestly, I'm kind of nervous here. That's the end.
Okay, let's back up about 2 minutes. You're going about, you sound like a third, three and a third record on 78 speed, and I'm just having a hard time catching up with you. That's all right. Just calm down, Ice. You know, we're brothers and sisters here. You don't have to worry about a thing in the world. But I'm from Arkansas, and I talk a little bit slower than a lot of folks. But I've asked Julie and some of the rest of you here to help out with you, so maybe they can help you. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you.
You're loved. You are
love. Praise the Lord. First, I guess I just command all nervousness and anxiety and stress and fear and all the stuff the enemy is trying to put on you to go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are. I don't know you that well, Ice, but I just think that the Lord is stretching you a little bit. And you say you've had all this peace and everything, and you're being obedient to your husband and everything and submissive. And now you're just getting some trials. I believe that maybe the dream about getting COVID, number one, could be a warning dream. Or number two is just, it's just an attack on your mind from the enemy. So we cast all that down in the name of Jesus, that you're not going to get COVID because you're under the blood of Jesus. And we have a Psalm 91 Passover. So that's not coming on you, and you declare it, and you claim that you are protected from all COVID and all sicknesses and all diseases. And we can definitely come against all witchcraft coming against you and your home. And I wasn't sure about, okay, so your oldest daughter, I don't know how old she is, but she's now bedwetting, and that didn't used to be, apparently.
Yeah, like she's been great for like 3 months. She's four. So
she's four.
Been great. She's been getting up, going in the middle of the night, and dreaming about a lot. I have no idea why I've been dreaming about her, but it's my father-in-law's girlfriend, and I've been dreaming a lot. We used to stay with my father-in-law before he moved where we live now, and I was dreaming about her a lot. And so I showed my friend a picture of her, and I said, is this the woman? And she thinks it may be, but she's not 100% sure. Okay, yeah, I'm on Zoom call.
I'm about to go eat and do that thing downstairs, so he's up here.
Okay, but yeah, so I didn't know why I was dreaming about her. And I showed her a picture, and she said that may be her, but she's not 100% sure. But in her dream, what it was is she was with her dad, and she was trying to help him fill out a form. And as she was trying to help him fill out the form, this woman was over the computer on the phone trying to help them. No, I didn't hear you. Okay. And so she was trying to help them fill out the form, but she just knew that this woman was saying, after they fill out this form, I'm going to kill them. But she knew it was for me. I don't know how she knew, but that was one dream, and I would have to go back and look. I wrote down the other one, but I had exactly what it was.
Okay. Has anyone got anything want to share and help Ice with that? Anyone perceiving some things there? Praise the Lord. We can definitely come against the witchcraft that I think is coming against your family. And, you know, the chaos, the confusion, the spirits of fear and distractions. Michael, you got anything?
No, I got knocked off, and I was just worried about this router messing up again.
Well, Father, you see everything what Ice is explaining, what she's been going through in her household, Father, and we thank you for the trials of our faith, Lord, that you're letting Ice experience here about learning to use the tools that you've given her and using the word of God and not accepting things that are contrary to what your word says that we have been given in Jesus and by his redeeming us with his life, with his blood. We all come together and we command all spirits of witchcraft that have been sent against Ice and her family to cease in Jesus' name. We cast it all down. We break its power off of her and her family in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that the bedwetting of her oldest daughter has stopped. She is not going to have this problem anymore. We command all fear to leave that house and quit tormenting and harassing these children and ICE and anybody that it is affecting her. In Jesus' name, it's not going to do that anymore. You have been commanded to go. And Lord, we lift her up regarding this other dream that her friend had and the assignments of murder and assassination, killing, death, and the like. We break its power off of ICE and her family in the name of Jesus. We don't receive any of this. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting her and her family, that she is covered with the blood and your holy angels are there to guard and protect them all. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe it is so. In Jesus' name. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Father, I pray for this family and I command blessings on the head of this household. I thank you for chasing him down with your goodness, Father, and just blowing his life up with your blessings and your favor and smiling on this family, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest in this house, Lord, that there will be the windows of heaven open in their lives, and there will be a period of time that they cannot deny your goodness. So, Father, I thank you for the goodness of God coming on this family and for the grace under repentance that we all need every day, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. And I just command, I just agree with the blood of Jesus that speaks of the covenant that you want to put on this family, and that every other agreement that their descendants have made that are trying to cause harassment and attachment from the kingdom of the enemy, I dismiss those assignments in Jesus' name, and I speak the blood of Jesus. With this family and to see the work that you're doing in them, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. Let's go have mice. Yeah, Rio.
I was thinking about that dream with the assassins and they're trying to come and kill you spiritually, I suppose. But what's interesting is that it's actually quite dumb to put an assignment on someone's life when they're already dead. It's a bit of a waste of time. But I do believe that whenever there's something coming against us, they're trying to kill us or attack us spiritually, all it's doing is it's killing the old man even more. Just putting to death the old man even more. That's why the Lord allows it. If we keep standing in faith and standing on the word and the promises and cast on any fear, then all of that is joy in tribulation. And that's why, you know, we gladly suffer those persecutions and sufferings, because all it's doing, it's counterintuitive to the enemy's plan, because it's just putting the old man to death even more. I come against this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, will not physically harm or affect ISIS family at all, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your Psalm 91 protection on them. And Lord, we praise your name for this, even this fast that's happening now, that's also going to kill the old man even more. And we praise your name for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for protecting them. We thank you, Father, for us having the authority to cast out fear and anxiety in the name of Jesus, and that we can stand on your promises that nothing shall in any wise hurt us, and only with our eyes will we behold. 1,000 will fall on our left and 10,000 on our right, but nothing shall in any wise hurt us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we accept it, and we pray that, Lord, for ISIS family, for her as well. We thank you, Lord, for the dream warnings as well, so that we know we are not surprised, we are not blindsided by the fiery darts of the enemy, because we have our shield of faith that we can fend off those fiery darts. We thank you, Lord. We suit up on your armor. And I pray, Lord, for that armor to be on Isis family and a daughter and our husband as well, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word that says by her example, he comes to the truth as well. And we stand on that, Lord, and we hold you to your word for that as well. And we look forward to that good report. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe that as far all right. Okay. I forgot to mention that she did get Esther 7 and 10, and it made her think of her dream, so that was complete. Amen. There was the issue with the TV blocking the Disney channels and such. Lord, we just ask that you only block those things that are harmful to them to watch in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Y'all want to hear a pretty neat story? I'm just asking. Y'all look, everybody know who T.L. Osborne was? Well, T.L. Osborne was a great healing evangelist back years ago. But the way he got started was kind of funny. Him and his wife, he was brought up in the church. It was not a full gospel church. Anyway, when he married, he and his wife decided they were going to be missionaries over in India. They took off for India. Well, when he got over there, they just laughed at him because he didn't have any power. He had nothing, you know, and he finally, they just gave it up. He came back home and he told his wife, I think her name was Daisy. Yeah, it was Daisy. She told him, said, Daisy, said, we're never going to go overseas again. Because they were just rejected and downhearted about it. He said, I'm just going to get me a little church and pastor that for the rest of my days. And so he did, but he went up, he'd heard about William Branham, and he went up to watch him one time up in Washington, state of Washington. I don't know what town it was in, but he was in a town up there. And he said he was sitting there watching him and said this deaf and dumb girl came up on the stage. And if any of you have ever watched some of Branham's old clips on YouTube, you know how humble and he wasn't very theatrical in his ministry. And wait a minute, I got stuff coming up here, just a minute. Okay. Well, hang on. I got stuff popping up here from the recording. Anyway, this young girl came up to the stage that was deaf and mute. And if you know anything about Branham, he said, all right, folks, this little girl here has a deaf and mute spirit. And said, he said this, he said, now, deaf and dumb spirit, I adjure you by the blood of Jesus, you go from her right now in Jesus' name. Well, at first he stuck his fingers in her ear. He said, I command you to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And he pulled his fingers out and the girl could hear and she could talk. Well, that just T.L. Osborne just had a fit. He had to find out how, what he had to do to be able to do that, because he could see that working over there in India. So he got back home and he got in touch with a full gospel preacher that prayed for him for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyway, I don't know if I told you or not, but I told you. Anyway, he went to his wife first off and said, "We're going back to India," after just telling her that he wasn't going to go back there anymore, anywhere. Well, Daisy was all, they were young, you know, so he went back. And when he got back over there, here's the kicker. When he got back over there, there was a bunch of Muslims that he had a brand new Bible. Boy, it was pretty too, a big black one with gold edges on the pages, you know, and just a big, pretty Bible. He said, "This is the Word of God." Well, the Muslims had one look just like it, only it was a Koran. He said, "Well, we got one of those." He said, "Oh my." He didn't give up. He said, "I'll tell you what you do." He said, "You go find me 10 people that are deaf and bring them to me." So they did. Over in India, it ain't hard to find them. Anyway, they brought them to him, brought 10 of them to him. He went down there just like William Branham did. "Deaf and dumb spirit, I adjure you by the blood of Jesus, come out of him." He go to the next one. All 10 of them were healed just like that. Brought the whole tribe of Muslims to God, to Jesus. Brought the whole tribe up. And he went on to be one of the most prolific healers in history. Now, a lot of people hadn't heard of T.L. Osborne, but he was over there in India where there's a lot of folks that need help. And they said that he was actually probably had more healings than any one man since for a long time. Of course, we don't know about the past history, but that was awesome. I thought that was awesome. His name was T.L. Osborne. He was, he died back many years ago. I forget how many years ago. He used to be on, what's one of those Christian shows you watch on TV back years ago? Yeah, T.L. Osborne, that's it. CBN, I believe it was. He used to be on there quite a bit. Anyway, I thought that was a very interesting. Oh, something else. Y'all want to hear something neat? Happened last night. I don't know if I'll tell you or not. Well, we were in praise and worship last night in fellowship, local fellowship. And the Lord just opens my eyes up, Kaylee, as he does other people in the fellowship as well. And I saw all these angels up there. And this is the first time this has happened. I was just watching them, we praising God and with a song. And one of the angels came over to me and he said, tell them to play page 125. Well, I already was there. I already knew what it was. It was a Revelation song. And I'm thinking, see, just last week, the orchestra, all four of them, had decided and told us, you know, we can't have people just hollering out a page number here and there and yon. He said, because it confuses us. We've got a set thing that we need to keep on. And if we can, we just need to stay with that, you know. And I was thinking in my mind, if I do this, it's going to seem, you know, they're not going to holler at us, you know how you think. And the angel told me, said, page 145. So I didn't say anything for a little bit. And then about a half a minute later, Barry said, let's do page 125. So the angel got tired of waiting on me and went over and nudged Barry himself. to me, I was fixing to tell that angel, I said, look, it's a law around here. You can't holler out a page number. But I wasn't going to do that either. But it was awesome. It was, and I'll tell you something. God moved joyously last night in the fellowship. It was just completely awesome. It was very, very joyous meeting. People were just happy. Came in happy. We stayed happy. We laughed when we was going out the door. So it was good. It was very good. That's the first time I've had an angel talk to me and tell me what kind of, which song to sing. Never had one do that. That was weird. It wasn't that weird. You can do it again. All right, Isaac.
Hey, that was awesome. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Background might be loud. I'm here in sight. What you're saying reminded me of something that happened to me, Michael. Now, I didn't see an angel. That's awesome. But, if I can just real quick say it. So I went to this Bible college. That's where I met Mary Anna. Just so everybody knows, I flunked out of there. Literally, I flunked. So I didn't make it very far. They used to, like, every Tuesday and Thursday, they'd have something called chapel. And what they would do is they'd bring in a pastor, and these people would preach or whatever. You know? And so, Bible college had students have to do that. So I was there, and usually what I noticed, I didn't really know the truth back then, but what I noticed was a lot of times these pastors come in, if they had a catchy catchphrase, buddy, that got people excited. They start moving for that. But this one fellow came in there one time, he's preaching. He just kept on talking about the Bible. And I don't mean it wrong for them people. I didn't know back then. They didn't mean it. And Rodolfo was getting very excited. And there was probably about 200 students or so in this chapel. And I'm sitting in the very, very back. And after the guy gets done preaching, the Lord puts it on my heart. I mean, I just feel it so strong. Like, I know this is him. And he says, give that man an offering. And I had $5 in my wallet. Like, I literally, Marianne can tell you this is true. I ate potatoes every day with a slice of cheese on it. You know? So if I got real fancy, I'd have two potatoes. Anyways, so I didn't have much. And he told me, give that an offer. And I said, no, that's just me. I heard it again. Give that an offer. And I just heard it so strong. And I said, no, that's me thinking. I'm a little terrible if I walk up there and just, out of nowhere. In the chapels, they don't do that. They don't give offers. They don't do that stuff. That's never happened. And I heard it a third time, and I still didn't know that. Now, the elder of that church got up and he said, guys, we have never done this in chapel. We don't take money from the college kids. We only do that once every Sunday. But he said, the Lord has told me to give that man an offering. And I said to myself, gosh, Isaac, why don't you just obey? And I was thinking, I was pretty down about myself. Well, I would have better give him all that I had. All my $5. So I wasn't going to have an extra potato for the night. So I went to work, and my manager told me, she said, I want you to go out there and sweep up it was a real cold, cloudy day. She goes, I want you to go sweep the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I go outside, and I was working at this place called Tim Hortons, and I'm sweeping the parking lot. And it was kind of blowing. And this $10 bill come out of the air. Nobody was around. There wasn't even a single car in the parking lot. There was nobody there. Wow. Yeah, which is why I was sweeping the parking lot. There's nobody there. I'd be serving them. And this $10 bill come out of the wind and went and fell right at my feet. And with the wind gusting, that $10 bill wouldn't move. It wouldn't move past my feet. and I picked it up, and I just thanked God. Even, you know, and this is, you know, it's amazing how the Lord works. I just wanted to say that. It's just so cool. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's always best when you get that knowing that they want something, the Lord wants you to do something. Go ahead and do it instead of hesitating like I did or like you did. You know, if you go ahead and do it, you'll be used a lot more, a lot quicker. And I knew that, but I had that anxious feeling. I didn't want to get buried, messed up. But it just so happened that the angel talked to him too. He knew I was going to pause. All right, that's a good one, Isaac. Thank you. Anybody else?
Michael, can I just ask you, who was Branham that you were talking about in Washington? What was his name?
William Branham.
William?
Yeah.
Branham. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, he was probably had the gift of the word of knowledge working in his life better than I've ever seen anyone else use it. He would call out people from up in the balcony. He said, there's a lady up on the third row up there on the 8th seat down. Her name is Sue whatever. And she just went to the doctor. And you'd hear some lady just screaming up there. He said, the Lord told me you're healed. And she'd just be in the whole place. It just erupts, you know. That's the way he was. He was just I think he was from Kentucky. And he was just an old country boy and very humble. And he had the word of knowledge working better than I've ever seen anyone else do. Yeah, Missy.
Something came to me. I'm sorry. Back to the angel telling you, you know, to request him 125. Well, I'd have blamed it on the angel. I would have said, the angel told me to tell you this.
Well, I thought about that afterward, but I wasn't even going to tell him about it. I told Eve, and she was just beside me. I told Eve, she said, you got to tell him, Michael. You just got to tell him, man. That's awesome. I said, okay. But, you know, the thing about the fellowship, there are lots of people in there see the angels. There's, you know, I'm just one out of many that see the angels. Lexi sees them all the time. That's a little 16-year-old girl sees him. That's Brandy and Amber's daughter. She sees him all the time. He sees him. There was hundreds in there last night, if not thousands, going up through the roof. Thank you, Lord. But we had a great time. We did. We had a great time till David brought the fast thing up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, y'all. No, he didn't bring that up till this morning. All right, anybody else got somebody they'd like to talk about? Who's up Thursday? Oh, it's praise and worship, isn't it? Praise and worship Thursday night. Okay. Y'all get your songs in to me. And you can put the links on there. I'm going to back off that. Julie showed me how to do it, so that'll be okay. Go ahead, Edwin or Andrea.
Hi, guys. I was wondering if somebody could help me. I've noticed in my Bible study recently that I've been reading all the Gospels, and I've noticed that every time, or most of the healing and miracles that Jesus did was on a Sabbath, and sometimes he even went into the synagogues and churches to do miracles in front of the smart people, or the like the Sadducees and Pharisees and people like that. And I was wondering if that was on purpose. Did he want to try to, was there some kind of a message behind that, or was it just random, or is there a reason for that? You know, if you guys know.
All right, who wants to try it? Miss, you're going to be doing some teaching? Is that what you're going to do? Huh? Okay. Go ahead, Missy. You know I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, what came to me was is that I think the Lord was trying to show that man isn't for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is for man. Just simple.
And he loved to irritate the Sadducees and the Pharisees too, it sounds like. All right, Judy.
He wanted to put them in their place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Judy. Amen. I think what the Lord was doing there is he was coming to bring the new covenant of grace and delivering people from the law. And he was setting the, what do you want to call it? The stage, whatever. Yeah. This is how we're going to do it now. It's like, you know, I'm coming in my Father's name. And he wanted to demonstrate and made known who the Father is and yeah, and just bring in this whole new revelation of and fulfilling prophecy and fulfilling all the words about himself, and because they were supposed to be looking for the Messiah to come, and they should have been watching and looking and discerning that, you know, who he was, but they had a different agenda and they were offended a little bit.
Yeah, they were walking by the flesh. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking of the kind of the practical aspect of the, you know, it was like, obviously in Galilee, they didn't have a lot of televisions and football games and internet and all that sort of thing. And society really in those days revolved around the synagogue. And the Lord came to the people of God first. And I think that was the whole purpose. But to go to the people of God, you know, to go to Israel, they were in the synagogue. They were in, that was the whole religious structure that was in place in those days. Obviously, it's a picture for what we have in these days. There's an organized Orthodox structure or whatever nowadays that the Lord is also going to come into. And but that's where one thing about the religious structure of the day, most people that are desiring to know God gravitate towards a church or the church or something somewhere that has to do with the church. So it's no different in that day. And I'm sure that when Jesus came into the synagogue to start his ministry and he cracked open Isaiah there and said, you know, give his prophecy of what he was going to do. I can't remember the exact verse now, but it not only offended the leaders, but it also rattled the cage of the laity or whatever. They were you know, they were, you know, wondering, what is this? You know, what's happening here? So I think the same thing is going to happen today. I think the Lord is going to, he's coming to the organized system. And I think the only difference is, I wish I could remember that verse, but the only difference is he's coming with a judgmental element in these last days, where he came then in mercy and truth, and he's going to add the element of judgment in these last days. At the same time, mercy and truth and a judging as well. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers what you're thinking or what you're questioning or what. What do you think, Edward?
Yeah, I think that answers a lot of the questions. One theory that I had on top of that is it might be that his purpose on earth was to come and die for our sins. And it might be that he knew the only way to get the leaders or the priests mad enough to actually crucify him is to go into their Sabbath and into their synagogues and go and show everyone there that their teachings are false and that he's the right way.
Agreed.
If he would have done that anywhere else, it might have taken too long for them to actually notice and ultimately crucify him.
Amen. He also died so that he could be on the throne, the head. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, you know, Jesus was Jewish, and the faith at the time in that part of the world was Judaism. And the scriptures were fulfilled by him. So he went to the Jews first to demonstrate, and dying on Passover was also fulfillment of that scripture. So he was a fulfillment of the scriptures. And I think that was extremely important. And of course, we know that Paul later went to the Jews, or the apostles went to the Jews first, but ultimately, the new covenant was expanded and given to the Gentiles. But I think it was important for Jesus to establish himself with the Pharisees and the leaders at the time to demonstrate that he was a fulfillment of the scriptures.
Amen. Yep. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
I'm thinking of that, the meeting that he had with Nicodemus, that he even stirred the pot there in the Sanhedrin, because Nicodemus came and said, you know, trying to find out what's happening here. And he said, we know that you are come from God, because no man can do the things that you are doing unless God be with him. So I think the Lord came to upset the apple cart. I mean, he was rattling timbers all over the place. And I'm sure that we will see Nicodemus in heaven one of these days because of that very thing. You know, so, and I feel like in this day and age, there are a lot of people that are in that religious structure that just don't know. They just don't know. And when the light of the gospel and the truth and the freedom of life in Christ comes to them, I think they're going to jump at it. They're also going to be, you know, the religious leaders are going to, you know, put the kibosh on that as much as possible. Kibosh a word? I guess kibosh is a word, right? Anyway.
In this form, you can make your own up. Go ahead.
That's it. So I think, I mean, it's exciting because I think when God releases this thing, we're going to be riding the wave, and it's going to be exciting. I can't wait, but I got to get through this fast first.
Okay, go ahead, Rhea.
It's good to listen to this, and thanks for asking that, Ed. I know you and I chatted a little bit about that as well, and so when we study this, we mentioned kind of saying, oh, that's probably why they were recorded, is because they were controversial, right? That's because they did happen on Sabbath. He just did miracles everywhere, and he had too many to document, right? They can fill all the books of the world, wouldn't be enough to hold what he did. But there's a reason why the Lord then chose to have those ones that he did on the Sabbath in the Bible, and that's what we discussed now. And I was thinking that, so the whole reason he did that was for controversy, right? He was exposing them, they were exposing the hypocrisy, and he was fulfilling scriptures, and yes, that infuriated them. So when we look at that, we then got to ask the question, and this is what I'm asking, this is what I want to find out, is that history always repeats, right? So when Jesus comes again in his man-child body, what's he going to do then that's also going to be the type and shadow of that? What could it possibly be that will offend and expose and infuriate today's church leaders the same way that he did, right? And the answer is obviously he's going to do exactly the same thing. He's going to say, you hypocrites, you look at the weightier matter of the word, but you leave out faith. And what else did Sunil put there? The weightier matter of the law. Yeah, like the judgment, mercy, and faith. We leave those things out, and then he's gonna heal them, cast out demons, raise the dead, I suppose, and he's gonna do it. That group of people, I should say, is gonna do it on the fake Sabbath of today. You know, whatever that is. You know, if it's Saturday nights or Sundays, I don't know. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like. So that's part of what we should study and have a look at.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So you can imagine, I'm thinking he went to the synagogues because like Ray said, like that's where they congregated, right? So that's where he could reach them. Like, okay, where are all the Jews? Well, they on the Sabbath day in the synagogues. And then he stood up and he read the scriptures and he said, this has now been fulfilled. So is the man-child company going to come and do the same thing and say, in a type, going to say, right, this has now been fulfilled. The rest of those, if you look at the rest of whatever the chapters in Isaiah that Jesus read, he stopped. He didn't read all of them. He stopped through, I don't know which one it is, Andrew would know, which prophecy he read in Isaiah, stopped and then said, he didn't go on to where it talks about the judgment that's coming and all of that. So the man-child come is going to come and do the same thing. On the Sabbath, heal, people are going to be very upset. And he's going to say, no, which one of you wouldn't do this if one of your children were this way? Read the scriptures and say, this has now been fulfilled. That's just incredible.
We just, you know, talking about that, we just got a dream this guy sent in, and he said that this was in a large church that was liberal, a person, I won't say who, but a person was in the middle of it. It was somebody from the fellowship, local here. And the person was sitting there teaching the word of God out in the audience, and the people were turning around and listening to him. They said hundreds of them were just listening to him, and the guy came out in the big regal cloak and things, you know, the big, you know, I'm the guy, here I am, you know, and went up there, and nobody was listening to him, but they were listening to the person that was out in the audience speaking truth to him. That's something else that's going to happen too. That will happen because they want to know who, what the truth is. And the truth is going to be told. And you're right, the signs and wonders are going to follow also. Well, okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Maybe he'll do some of the, like, miracle parables, you know, change water into wine, or multiply the bread and the fish. You know, it's a miracle parable because they knew that that bread and that meat was the same kind of stuff they had in the other wilderness. And he said they're like sheep without a shepherd, you know. And then he went off and multiplied the bread and the fishes, you know. So that's something pretty cool. I call them miracle parables because, you know, he fills the earthen water pots with water and changes them to wine. He'll do stuff like that to explain things, to show things, right? Like different things, like that'll apply, a miracle parable, you know. That's what I think might come to pass in the future. Praise God. Glory to God.
What are y'all talking about here in the chat?
Pierre is asking, what does it mean then when it says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face? That you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which is in secret.
Well, I'm not going to say.
Sunil, that's funny.
Help me, Jesus. Keep my mouth zipped. I'm learning how to die to self. Yeah, Braille cream. That'll work.
Hey, Michael, in India, they would say, zip the lip and put it in pocket.
Zip your lip and put it in your pocket. Okay. All right. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for another wonderful time tonight. It's been good. I enjoyed it. Lord, we thank you that your mercy and your grace is going to be upon us during this fast. It's not going to be a bad one, but we do want to kill this flesh, walk this holy life, be perfected in you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for everybody that's listening that's going to participate. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. And just like you did the Israelis when they went out from Egypt, Lord, you're going to give them the money to get the gospel out too. And we praise you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you have also brought down the deep state, or bringing down the deep state in the church, in Jesus' name. And those factious people that have come against God's people, we thank you, Lord, for putting confusion in their camp and scattering them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if some of them can be saved, we ask that you do that, Lord, and the others just get rid of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?